The federal government aims to be a model employer, welcoming diversity, fostering an inclusive environment. And it's hiring people with disabilities at the fastest clip in decades. 18% of new hires in 2013 reported they had some sort of disability, but problems today remain. And today, Federal Employees with Disabilities, a grassroots organization, has paired with a group representing gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered feds. Together, they're holding a training program with some big speakers lined up. Jason Olson is the group's president, and he joins us now. Jason, great to have you with us.
Oh, it's great to be here, Emily.
So, Jason, first of all, tell us a little bit about your approach. On the surface, it might not seem like a natural pairing. Feds with disabilities going to talk about disabilities and the GLBT community talking about issues of concern to them.
Well, you know, I think that's the initial impression for a lot of people at the outset, you know. But when you really dig deeper, you see that the two groups aren't that different. For people with hidden disabilities, there's the issue with disclosure, whether or not they're in an inclusive workplace where they feel like they can disclose that they have a disability. Just like someone who's in the LGBT community needs to have an inclusive, welcoming workplace to feel like they can disclose their sexual orientation. We also face issues of inclusion, you know, whether or not you're going to invite that coworker out because they are the member of a particular group that you may not be 100% comfortable being around. And plus, when you look at some of the barriers that we face in employment as far as attitudinal barriers, stereotypes, stigma, stuff like that, you know, there really is a cross-section for that. Not to say that we don't have our unique things that we face. We absolutely do. And that's one of the reasons that we've structured our agenda the way we have.
Tell me a little bit about the people you're expecting. We'll get to the speakers in a moment, but the people that you're expecting to attend.
Well, of course, we're expecting some advocates from each one of our communities. But we're also expecting a lot of EEO folks, a lot of HR folks, a lot of people from, I would say, some of the agencies who are striving to be those model employers, who want to send their staff to be educated on some of the barriers that people face, and to hear not just from trainers, but from people within that community about the effect that some of these barriers have on them, even share some of the personal stories about how they've overcome those barriers, and the impact that folks at EEO and HR can have on people's lives, really through employment.
And you spoke a minute ago about sort of the commonalities between you and the LGBT community. You're also having a town hall this morning. We're going to have speakers from Big that represents blacks in government, Few that represents women, and other sorts of groups. Tell me a little bit about it seems like the coalition that you're trying to build among these groups.
Right. It's actually called the National Coalition of Equity and Public Service. And what we've done is all the presidents from these various affinity groups, the ones you named, Big, Few, FAPAC, SAGE, and of course, Feds and FedQ, you know, we're building coalitions to help support each other's voices. So when there's barriers to be addressed, that we're not just one group speaking, you know, we're a bunch of groups who are coming together to say, you know, we support the fact that the government needs to be an inclusive employer. We support the fact, really, that some of the stuff that happens to people just because they're in the community they're in won't be tolerated any longer.
What would you say are some of the biggest barriers that specifically that feds with disabilities face?
Well, quite honestly, the number one thing I've seen is retention. A lot of people are hired under the Schedule A Hiring Authority. It's a terrific tool, but it really needs to be revamped.
And for people who aren't familiar with that, it allows people with disabilities to be hired into the government in a non-competitive way.
Right. You get hired into accepted service, but during that time you serve a 2-year probationary period. And we've seen people, actually numerous people, who even though they're getting exceptional reviews across the board, they're still not converted after those 2 years. That's really problematic for us. And that means
that agencies are choosing not to keep them on board, or that they're leaving of their own will?
Most of the time, the agencies are choosing not to keep them on board. And part of that, you know, that we feel really ties into that is the issue of reasonable accommodations. That's the second biggest thing we hear about all the time. And those two are really tied together, because when you're on that 2-year probationary period, that's the time when employees usually have to fight to get their accommodation. So we think that those two go hand in hand.
What are some of the more common accommodations that people request?
I would say one of the most common one is just sign language interpreters. I'm going to be straight with you, Emily. You know, I've given presentations at numerous agencies, and it's not uncommon. I mean, I had one guy who was an SESer stand up at one of the presentations I was given, and in a room full of people, and say that due to the cost of interpreters, he won't even consider hiring people who are deaf or hard of hearing.
Wow.
So when there's just that, you know, when someone feels comfortable enough to stand up in a room and say that, it really lets you know that there's still a long way for us to go.
Well, that brings us to your speakers. I mean, your opening speaker, one of your opening speakers this morning is Catherine Archuleta, the director of the Office of Personnel Management. I'm more interested in your message to her than her message to you.
My message to her is one. I'm going to hand deliver her a letter today that says, please open up the Schedule A regs for comment. We're not saying change them. We're just saying, please let people with disabilities tell you what's wrong with this hiring authority and how to fix it.
You don't think that message is being heard by the Obama administration?
I think as a community, we need to do a better job of having a solid, loud voice so that that administration hears us.
We're speaking with Jason Olson. He's president of Federal Employees with Disabilities. Well, it is a positive sign that Catherine Archuleta is coming, wants to come and speak, certainly. I want to talk a little bit about the agency level. You mentioned that there were people from agencies who consider themselves to be model employers, perhaps doing better than others when it comes to hiring people with disabilities. Who are some of those agencies?
One of the people we're going to actually have presenting today is NASA about workforce diversity and inclusion. And they by far seem to be hitting their numbers, but not just hitting their numbers, but actually creating that workplace environment that's inclusive and welcoming, where people feel comfortable. So I'm interested to sit in on his presentation and hopefully find that silver bullet to exactly what he's doing to make the magic.
Another one of your sessions that seems interesting is going to be focusing on the executive core competencies. Of course, those are the things that people mid-level and senior, even federal employees, need in order to join the SES. Do you know the rate of people with disabilities who have been able to join the SES?
I know for people with disabilities, it's meager at best. There's actually a joke I use a lot of the times. It's not very funny, but I tell people that looking for a person with a disability, especially a targeted disability in the SES, is like hunting unicorns. I've heard they exist, but I haven't seen very many.
And why do you think that is? Is it, again, just as simple as that retention after the 2 years probation?
I think it's retention, you know, but I still think that there really is still a lot of stigma, and I still think we have a lot of attitude still to change as far as the capabilities of people with disabilities. It's just something we have to do, and while it's okay to hold people without disabilities accountable for that, we need to hold our community accountable for that as well, and the fact that we need to have a strong, solid voice. And we need to say that, you know, we want to be included, and we don't just want to be included in the print shop at agencies. We want to be included in the SES and leadership positions as well. The number one thing we've seen that changes people's attitudes is when you get that first person with a disability in the door and people find out, you know, this guy or this woman, they are so much more than their disability. And they have such great talent. I think a lot of people are surprised just because of their preconceived notions.
When we've spoken with high-ranking government officials whose job it is to foster an inclusive environment and to help people with disabilities join and stay in the government, they often cite as one of the problems is that people don't disclose, and you even mentioned this, but they don't think of themselves as having a disability, or they don't disclose to others that they have a disability. I want you to tell me a little bit about your group, Federal Employees with Disability, because you've tried to raise awareness within the government that people should be coming forward. Have you seen people more comfortable coming forward?
I would say they're comfortable coming forward to our group. But look, I mean, you know, I'm not sure how much focus we need to pay on the people who aren't wanting to disclose. I don't want to say I feel like that's kind of a cop-out, but I think that's a way of saying that they believe that the numbers are better than they are. And the fact of the matter is it's a personal choice to disclose. For some people, they feel like they'll be putting a lot at risk. And I appreciate that. But I don't think that's where the focus needs to be. I think the focus needs to be on let's make sure that we have people in leadership positions that have disabilities, and let's make sure that if they are in that position, that they work for an employer where they feel comfortable disclosing. It's kind of a cart before the horse type thing, really. You know, I mean, they're wanting to count the people who aren't coming forward, where really the issue is maybe if they work someplace where they felt comfortable coming forward and didn't feel like they'd be putting their jobs at risk, then they would come forward. So we really want to focus on making these agencies that inclusive workplace where people feel comfortable doing that. And that's really what we need to focus on instead of just making them disclose so that we could say that the numbers are higher than they look right now.
Jason, final question. Where are you holding your training?
We are having it at the Hilton Garden Inn, one block from the Gallaudet Metro. And I do want to encourage, we have some tables left. We're having a job fair on Thursday that's open to the public. We want people with disabilities there. We want people from the LGBT community there. And we have some tables left for any agencies who want to come and really find some talented folks to bring into their workforce and to help give people an opportunity to show what they can do.
Jason Olson is the president of Federal Employees with Disabilities. Jason, thanks for joining us on this busy morning for you.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate you having me, Emily, and I hope everyone has a good Monday.